We have sound. All right. Now I got to get the notes out of the book. I got to take the book off the stand. I got to raise the stand. I got to pull the mic. It's a lot for a guy like me to do at the same time. We'll see how far we get here. I also have the added handicap of I don't have all feeling in my right hand. Just three of my fingers are numb. It's been that way since my backpacking trip. I did something to myself. Either that or just old age. I'm not sure which one, but it's definitely one of them. And you don't know how much you really miss the feeling in your hand. I know some of you know. I can see the nodding head. Some of you are there and have felt it. I know it's a new experience for me. And funny enough, the thing that I've struggled the most with is tying my shoes, which this will make you just how easy it is on me comparatively to some. But tying my shoes has been difficult. Eating popcorn out of a container is exceptionally difficult. If you can't feel the popcorn, it's hard to grab onto. I'd bring up some, and there's nothing there. You know, felt like there was, but there was nothing there. It's been tough to work through. Lord willing, I'll figure it out. But that's what's been going on in my life, dealing with part of that. Amongst everything else, we've been in 1 Timothy, and this was something actually the Lord kind of led me in this direction. Originally, I was going to continue on, because last I did Hebrews, and I was going to continue on to the next book and just continue on all the way to the end. And for some reason, I felt led to move to Timothy because of the mentorship aspect that Paul had for Timothy, for the young man Timothy. He was the young one. And Paul saw him as a son. And he was a mentor to Paul, an example to Paul. And so I went to Timothy, and I had someone tell me that I was very brave to do that. And that's something you don't want to hear when you're going to be speaking from the Word. You don't want to hear that. I definitely didn't want to. And I went and I looked it up, and immediately it's like, oh, did I make a great mistake? Because I'm not a biblical scholar. You know, I am a simple believer who studies the Word. That is who I am. And so I went through and I came across what he was talking about, 1 Timothy chapter 2, where it talks about the roles of the men and women in the church. And there's some doozies in this part here. It's going to be interesting. So if you disagree with me, with my conclusions, because that's what I'm presenting to you. I'm presenting my conclusions after much study and much prayer. If you disagree, please talk to me. I'd love to hear from you because I'm totally open to it. All right, I would love to hear other views on the subject. But this is mine. All right, now, in the beginning with 1 Timothy in chapter 2, he kind of starts off with how worship and how the service is to be conducted. Because he's training Timothy up. You know, he is already, Timothy's been a disciple of Paul's. He's been kind of brought up with the knowledge that Paul can impart to him. And he's still learning. And that's what this letter is the 1 Timothy is meant to do to Timothy. It's to encourage him. It's to instruct him. It's to lift him up. It is to guide him through these tough situations that Paul knows he's going to encounter, because Paul himself has. Right, and the first part was in prayer, in leading the service and supplication and prayers. In fact, I'll go ahead and just read it here. 1 Timothy, we're going to be in 1 Timothy chapter 2, starting in verse 1 here. It says, therefore, I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life, in all godliness and reverence. So prayers for all. This is what I talked about last time. Prayers for all. Everyone is on that same field when we pray. We don't pray for someone because they're rich and they're able to help us out. We don't pray for someone we don't skip over those who are poor. We do not skip over those who we do not like. It is all. There's no wiggle room in that. It is everyone. All right, it is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. So that is God's desire, that all men are to be saved. All people are to be saved. That is his desire. And so thus we pray for all. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time, for which I was appointed, I being Paul, I was appointed a preacher and an apostle. I'm speaking the truth in Christ and not lying, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. All right, so that's the first kind of guidance. Pray for all. In service, you pray for all. No difference. And in verse 2 and 3, this was kind of interesting. Well, I tried I'm not a Greek speaker, but I tried to look up the Greek words and meanings, and I tried to find kind of what the idea is behind it and where the translations actually came from. That's kind of a fascination of mine, is finding out, okay, why is it different in this one compared to this one? And seeing why they made the choices that they did. And so, in verse 2 and 3, it says, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and reverence. And the Greek word there that is used, and this sermon is actually probably going to be properly titled, if I was to give it a title, Tristan Butcher's Greek is probably going to be the best way to refer to it. Because the Greek word is hisuchos. And if you're Greek, I apologize right now, because I don't think that's how you say it. I looked through the actual, you know, how they put it in the dictionary, how you're supposed to say the word. And I tried really hard, and I've already forgotten all of them. But hisuchos is the Greek word. All right? And then when I find these Greek words in certain parts, parts of verses, I then look for them further on down. Because now I know the word, and I know what it means, and so I look kind of for those patterns. I'm a software developer. I look for patterns. And so that's something that that this particular word comes back in the next part. All right, so the next step, the next part of the instructions for conducting of church, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8. I desire, therefore, that the men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath or doubting. Now, my translation is the New King James, so yours might be different. I actually looked up a couple different ones. The New American Standard had without wrath or dissension. And I actually looked up the Greek on the wrath and doubting, and it uses the word logomacheo, which means war of words. So without war of words, we are to lift holy hands without anger or war of words. Which is where I imagine where dissension came from. Dissension and doubting. All right? That's the desire that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands. Now, when you sing songs, you see people lift up hands and such. I'm not an overly demonstrative person. So it always makes me self-conscious, you know, when I do it. It's not wrong. It says right here, pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands. So if your fear of self, you're being self-conscious, don't let it, because you're paying attention to the wrong thing. And I'm speaking to you as much as I am speaking to me, because that's something that resonates with me. Because I'm not the one to do that. But it says to. Without wrath or dissension, without wrath or doubting, no war of words. And then the next part here, and this was the part that my friend was talking about. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9, in like manner also, that the women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with propriety and moderation, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly clothing, but which is proper for women professing godliness with good works. So modesty. That's nothing new. That's something I've heard as growing up, you know, to do it modestly. And something that I went through with the Greek is the Greek word that is actually used here in Timothy is called katastole, which means apparel, and it relates to an action verb called stelio, which describes a putting or setting, placing something in its designated intended position, and it has a root for stel, which is the same word, which is the root, same root for star. All right? Star, or where it goes, stellar. And the links between this verb also with the roots of it go back to The word Anatolia, which is the traditional name for Asia Minor, or Turkey as it is today, meaning rising of the sun. And so when the sun rises, you kind of notice it, right? It's pretty apparent. So it's the absence of that. It's the modesty is not drawing attention, not seeking attention to be brought onto you. And so it's not just an action. It's a combination of your heart condition. Why am I doing this? Is it for me or is it for him? You know, is it for God's glory or is it for my own? All right? That's the kind of the roots where that word is from. And it's interesting, actually, that this word, this actual verb, stelio, is used two times in the New Testament, but both times in a passive voice and a way of, in its use, is for avoiding, to not be that center of attention, not seek that limelight, that to not be the star. It's to be modest. It is to be not to draw attention, because that's not why we're here. Verse 11, let a woman learn in silence with all submission. Well, that's a fun one. Tell my wife that. Oh, yeah. That'd be interesting. And that's a really loaded one, too, because it's saying you need to be silent. You, as a woman, you need to be silent, which infers that you are inferior. You are lesser than, or you are not up to the correct level. If you don't read it right, if in my first reading, especially as a young person, that was my take on it. That the men kind of run the show, and that's the way it should be. You know, I should say another blessing here is that my wife is actually not here in service today. This makes it a little easier. But in my reading, in just a normal, just English reading of this verse, you could come away with that feeling. You could. Let a woman learn in silence and with all submission. But this is where it gets interesting. Because remember that word, hesuchos, quiet and peaceable? Hesuchos is the exact same word that is used in this part, in this verse, in the Timothy 2:11. It's exactly the same. Hesuchos. That adjective, it's a Greek adjective meaning still, cautious, gentle, peaceful, or tranquil. Not silent as in you have to be quiet and listen to what I tell you. That's not what it is at all. It is peaceful and quiet. Tranquility. Tranquility is something I haven't known since I've had kids. But it's that peace, that ultimate peace. All right, have you ever been in a place where you were able to sit down and have everything, the whole world, just kind of removed from your ears, removed from your head, and just experience that level of peace? It's a rare thing in today's world because we get bombarded with everything. Everything wants our attention. You know, it's screaming at us. Our phones have notifications that demand our attention. Our kids demand our attention. Our grandkids. The government, the neighbors, the anything that is out there, your garden, your animals, it all demands your attention. It's hard to get that quiet, that peace, that tranquility. But that's what that word means, hesuchos. That's not the same as silence. Not in the idea of silence to authority. Not in the idea of when your mother is telling you that you need to do something and you want to talk back and she says, silence, which I definitely heard as a kid. It's not that. Let a woman learn in peace, in quiet, in tranquility. It is also, hesuchia is a noun in Greek, which is related to this particular adjective. It's called the state or mental mastery, the opposite of being vulnerable to stimuli or prone to emotional outbursts. Probably a poor choice there in the dictionary, but But certainly not the same as subservient service. It is not saying that you are less than. He is calling women to learn in silence, in peace, to let that quiet be there. And then learn in silence with all submission. This is an also interesting one. With all submission, here Paul uses the verb tasso, which means to order, and speaks with authority and methodology. It's to order, to be as directed, to learn in peace as directed, in order. There's no chaos in it. In verse 12, and I do not permit a woman to teach or to have authority over a man, but to be in silence. Authority in the Greek word here, the one that's used in 1 Timothy here, is authentio. Authentio, I think that's how it was. And it's a verb meaning to domineer, to bully, essentially, to be that domination. It says you do not have that ability to domineer over a man, but to be in, and here's that Greek word again, in my New King James, it says to be in silence, but it's the same word, hesuchos. It's the same word, tranquility, peace, quiet. And then Paul, in the next verse here, Paul gives his reasoning as to why. In verse 13, it says, for Adam was formed first, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived fell into transgression. And this is another one that gets taken and used kind of as a hammer to be able to say, well, you women, you know, you kind of failed way back in the beginning, kind of lost your ability to make those kinds of decisions because of that. So just leave it to us. You know, it can be used that way. I've used it this way myself in jest because it is easy to take it that way. It was definitely in jest. I probably got hit for it, though, if I remember right. But Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived fell in transgression. Adam was not deceived. Eve was. Adam, it's actually worse for him because he knew, and he still did it. The woman is not responsible for Adam's sin. Adam is responsible for his sin, and his is the greater because of his position. Now it says, it says that women, I do not permit a woman to teach. And if you stop there, that's pretty definitive. That mean women can't teach? No, that's not what he's saying. For women can teach, women must teach. In fact, there's many places in the Bible where it's exactly the opposite of that. In fact, in Titus, I found this one in Titus chapter 2, verse 3. It actually says in Titus 2, verse 3, the older women likewise, then they may be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, and on and on. You are called to teach. You must teach. The teaching of the woman in the home is where it all begins. You must teach. And the difference here is in the next part here, or to have authentio, have that domineering position over a man, but to be peaceful. Another example of women teaching also has something to do very close to Timothy. Because Timothy, if you remember way back when we first started with Timothy, his mother and his grandmother were the reasons that he was a follower of Christ. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14, Paul actually references this just a little further in the next chapter. He actually references it where he says in verse 14 of chapter 3, he says, but you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. He learned them from his mother and his grandmother. His father was not a Jew. He was not actually even part of that. He was a Greek. So Timothy actually learned it from his mother and his grandmother. And they actually are referenced in the beginning of 2 Timothy, where Paul actually referenced them. So he says in verse 5 of 2 Timothy chapter 1, he says, "When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is also in you." That's where he got it from. From the beginning. It's not a lesser position. It is not a measure of your worth at all. It is not a measure of his love for you. That's the same. It's the same for men and women. Different responsibilities, different roles, not different worth. In the next verse, verse 15. "Nevertheless, she will be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith, love, and holiness and self-control." Well, that's another tough one too. Because you can really come away with the wrong idea on that one. Does this mean that women can be obtain salvation by having children? I don't know. I'm sure my wife would disagree with that one. It doesn't seem like the salvation is born out of your children. You can really come away with the wrong idea on that. And this is where I really struggled with this one, because I didn't understand it. I didn't have a clue. I didn't understand what this means. What is he trying to say? Because in studying the word, you want to get it right. And sometimes that's hard. But you want to. You want to get it right. We all want to get it right. It's like humans, we want to get it right because we like rules, because the rules help us get it right. You know, that's why we have, over the centuries, the Catholic Church has these big, long list of rules that you can follow. And it makes it easier because, okay, well, what about in this particular instance? Oh, let's check the rules. You know, it makes it easier to get it right because you have all these rules, but that's not how he has it laid out in his word. Makes it easier, but that's not how he has it. So, in study, and I went to the Greek first, that's where I started. It says, "Nevertheless, she will be saved in childbearing." I actually looked up the word. So, saved in the Greek, the word that is used here, it's a cluster of words, which means there are several different ones put together. Starting with the verb sozo, means to save, and the rest of the cluster is stem that revolves around wholeness and soundness. The next word in that cluster is soma, which means body. And then also sophia, meaning wisdom. So the traditional translation for it is to be made whole and complete in wisdom. So as you seek the Lord in your role that he has defined for you, that along with the rest of the words, if you continue in faith, love, and holiness and self-control, that is how you will be saved, through the blood of Jesus, through being in the role that he has defined and called you to, along with your faith, love, holiness, and self-control. That is how you will be made whole and complete. Not that having children is going to save you. Because it won't. It's going to make you old before your years. But seeking God's will for your life, in your position, and where you need to be as a woman of God. The Greek word, and this one's a really tough one, technogonia. I apologize. technogonia, something like that. Used here meaning childbirth, parentage, by implication maternity, performance of maternal duties. It's a further reinforcement of what that role is. It's not, because women are the only ones who can have children. I can't. I mean, you mentioned having the Roman costume, Lucien. You do not want to see me in a toga. You just don't. All right? It is that position that women have that is special, that is different from us. And it's being in that position and seeking that position and seeking that will that God has for your life. And continuing in that faith and love and holiness and self-control. That is how you will be made whole and complete. So 2 Timothy, it's tough and it can be taken out of context. It can be really confusing. It's still confusing to me in some ways. I think I have a better grasp of it than I did before. But it's one that can get you into a lot of trouble if you don't really, really look at it. There is a place for you in the body of Christ as women, and it is exceptionally important. It cannot be done without you. We as men, we're not trying to push you down. I mean, you know us. Are we even somewhat organized to do something like that? We're not. We can't do that. Different, but equal. Different roles as defined by God, but equal. Equally loved, equally important. And men do not get off. I know we often, it comes down to, we'll put the women in our place with this particular chapter. The next one actually is what puts the men in their place. So if you think you got it easy, guys, it's not going to be in the next chapter. Which is good, as it should be. All right. So if you have any altering, differing opinions on it, I'd still love to hear you. It's okay. I can take it. But that is my take, the result of my study through this particular chapter. So, equal, but different. All right, let's close in prayer. Father, you are in control. We are your servants. We want to get it right. We don't want to do it wrong. We want to know what your will is for us. We want to know how to conduct service properly. We want to know how to conduct ourselves properly. We want to please you. Lord, I pray that that wisdom and that seeking nature is given to us to be able to chase after what you have in store for us. We pray for this coming week with all the kids going to camp, entering in the mission field, our young people, some for the first time, who are actually going to help other kids come to know you. We thank you for that opportunity. We pray that they make the most of it. We pray that you prepare the ground for the kids who are going to be there as well. Some of them for the first time hearing about you. We pray that that ground is soft and welcoming for the gospel. We pray for those who have medical issues going on this week. With Dina with her surgery. And with Katie as well with her pregnancy. Lord, we lift them up in prayer. We know that you are in control. We know that you love and care for them. We pray that that love is made known to them. We thank you, Father, for all you have given us. We pray that we will seek you first. We love you. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.